This morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And the first thing we're going to consider in our text is this: a plea not to drift away. Let's look at verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. The author of this letter is writing to Jews, or Hebrews, who've become followers of Jesus. And they're feeling tempted to abandon their new faith and go back to their old religion, Judaism. Because in the world they're living in the first century, Christians are being persecuted for their faith. They're being persecuted because they refuse to worship the Roman Emperor, who's effectively the ruler of the world. They insist on worshipping God alone. But Jews, who are practicing Judaism, have been granted an exemption from emperor worship. So they're allowed to practice their religion without being persecuted by the Romans. In the first century, if you were looking for an easy life, a comfortable life, you certainly wouldn't choose to be a Christian. Or if you chose to be a Christian, but then realised it was a life of difficulty and hardship, then you might be tempted to give up and just go back to your old religion. After all, it was much easier and more comfortable. That's the temptation these Jewish Christians are facing. Before they became Christians, they were allowed to practice their religion in peace. But now that they're Christians, they're being persecuted. Some are being thrown in prison. Some are being executed. If they give up on Jesus, they can have their comfortable life back. But at what cost? Really, the whole letter of Hebrews is one big exhortation not to fall away from Jesus. And the first explicit mention of this idea is in our text for this morning. The writer pleads with his readers not to drift away. And he includes himself in this plea. He says, we must pay very careful attention to what we've heard so we don't drift away. This isn't a casual suggestion. It isn't just a good idea. It isn't a take it or leave it kind of thing. We must. It's an imperative. It's a plea. The writer is pleading with these Jewish Christians and himself and us. Don't drift away. What happens when you're sailing a boat but you stop paying attention to what you're doing? You drift off course. And the longer you're not paying attention, the further you drift off course. And the closer it takes you to danger, like crashing into another boat or a reef or any other hazard. Now, we might not be able to relate to that example very well if we've never sailed a boat before. But what about driving a car? I'm sure most of us have driven a car. What happens when you're driving along but you stop paying attention to what you're doing? You drift off course. You start to veer towards the edges of the lane. And the longer you're not paying attention, the further you drift off course. And the closer it takes you to danger. This is how many head-on collisions have happened. Someone stopped paying attention for too long. The antidote to drifting off course in boats or cars is to keep paying attention. And it's the same with our faith. The antidote to drifting away from Jesus is to keep paying attention. The writer of Hebrews pleads with us to keep paying very careful attention to the message of salvation so we don't drift away. Now, the second thing we're going to consider in our text is this: a warning not to drift away. Let's look at verse 2. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? The writer is referring to the Old Covenant and how breaking the Old Covenant brought judgment. But now something far greater than the Old Covenant is here, the New Covenant, God's promise of salvation from judgment through the blood of Jesus. You see, the Old Covenant was only temporary. It was pointing forward to the coming of Jesus. When Jesus himself would say in Luke 22:20, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And Jesus changed a tradition that had been celebrated by the Jewish people for 1,500 years, the Passover. He changed it to the Lord's Supper, which we celebrated last week. This is just one example of the many changes brought about by the coming of the new covenant. So the writer of Hebrews argues from the lesser to the greater. He says, if people who broke the old covenant were punished, what chance have we got of escaping punishment if we ignore the new covenant? If we ignore so great a salvation, no chance. We won't escape. If we stop paying very careful attention to the message of salvation and so start ignoring it and drift away from the faith, there's only one thing awaiting us: judgment. So that's why the writer warns us not to drift away, but to keep paying very careful attention to the message of salvation. Now, the third thing we're going to consider in our text is this: a reason not to drift away. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The writer gives his readers a reason not to drift away. Their faith is true. It's the real deal. Christianity isn't a myth. It wasn't made up by some crazy guys in the first century. It's true. Jesus really did die on a cross and rise from the dead. Many people saw him after he was risen. He preached the message of salvation to his apostles and told them to go and preach it to others so they too could be saved. And both the writer of Hebrews and his readers heard this message of salvation from the apostles. And they also heard about, and some of them probably saw, the signs and wonders and miracles the apostles did, which we can read about in the book of Acts. We have a very good reason not to drift away. Our faith is true. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so we could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead so we could live with him forever. This isn't some fairy tale. This is reality. As Christians, we bet our whole life on the message of salvation being true. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then we are to be pitied more than anyone else for choosing to give up a life of ease and comfort for the sake of a myth, for choosing a life of difficulty and hardship for the sake of a myth. But it's not a myth. Jesus really was raised from the dead. He is the Lord of all. He is the Saviour of his people, and he is coming back to take us to be with him. The people who are to be pitied more than anyone else are those who decide to follow Jesus, but then drift away. They lose everything that really matters, knowing God and enjoying Him now and forever. The writer of Hebrews pleads with us not to be one of these people. He warns us not to be one of these people. He reasons with us not to be one of these people. I'm sure we all know people who've drifted away from Jesus. At some point in their life, they made a decision to follow Jesus. Or maybe they were born into a Christian family and so were following Jesus from a very young age. But then sometime later, they drifted away from Him. They stopped reading the Bible. They stopped praying. They stopped going to church. Now, this probably didn't happen overnight. It was a drift. It was gradual. They stopped reading the Bible every day. They started reading it every second day. And then it was once a week. And then once a month. And before long, they couldn't remember the last time they read it. They stopped praying every day. They started praying only when they read the Bible. So as their Bible reading decreased, so did their praying. Soon they only prayed whenever they needed help. And before long, they couldn't remember the last time they prayed. They stopped going to church every week. They started going every second week. And then it was once a month. And then it was whenever they could make it. And before long, they couldn't remember the last time they went. It was a drift. They drifted away from Jesus gradually. But how did it start? They stopped paying very careful attention to the message of salvation. And so they started ignoring the message of salvation. And unless they come back to Jesus in true repentance and faith, they won't escape God's judgment. Now, this is a very sad reality for many of us who have family and friends who've drifted away. We know what awaits them if they don't become true followers of Jesus, who follow Him until the very end. But I want to encourage you to keep praying for your loved ones who've drifted away. God is able to bring them back. He is able to save them. So pray earnestly that He would. And we also need to pray for ourselves, that God would help us to heed this warning, not to drift away. That He would help us to keep paying very careful attention to the message of salvation, to keep following Jesus until He calls us home. Now, how do we actually pay very careful attention to the message of salvation? Well, this is where it gets really practical. I want to briefly share with you 7 ways we can do this. Number 1, read the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and in it He tells us the message of salvation. So reading the Bible is a great way we can pay very careful attention to the message of salvation. Now, some of us struggle with reading. Reading just isn't our thing. So Bible reading can be a real slog for us. But thanks to technology, we can listen to someone else read the Bible to us. There are lots of audio Bibles available now. So if you struggle with Bible reading and you think Bible listening might be better suited to you, I'd encourage you to check out audio Bibles or come and talk to me about it. But whether we read the Bible or listen to it, the more we do it, the more attention we can pay to the message of salvation that's in the Bible. So if we don't want to drift away, let's make sure we read or listen to God's word every day. Number two, pray. We can talk to God about the message of salvation. We can praise Him for sending Jesus to save us. We can thank Him that He enabled us to believe it. Praying about the message of salvation will help us pay very careful attention to it. Number three, talk with people. We can talk with people about the message of salvation, both Christians and non-Christians. Talking with people about the message of salvation will help us pay very careful attention to it. Number four, read Christian books. Many Christian books are about the message of salvation, so reading them will help us pay very careful attention to it. And for those of us who don't like reading, there are many Christian books on audio now. Number five, listen to sermons. We don't have to listen to just one sermon per week, the one we hear at church on Sunday. We can listen to as many as we want. Many sermons are about the message of salvation. In fact, all good sermons should be about the message of salvation in some way. So listening to them, or even watching them on YouTube, will help us pay very careful attention to it. Number six, listen to Christian music. Many Christian songs are about, you guessed it, the message of salvation. So listening to them will help us pay very careful attention to it. Finally, number seven, go to church. And you're already here, which is great. We read about the message of salvation when we read the Bible at church. We pray about it at church. We sing about it at church. We talk about it at church. And we also hear the message of salvation preached at church. Going to church is a great way we can pay very careful attention to the message of salvation. So if we don't want to drift away, let's make sure we go to church every week. Except, of course, when we're unable to make it due to sickness, etc. Brothers and sisters, I say this to you, and I say this to myself, don't drift away. There's nowhere else to go. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The message of salvation is about Him. He is the one who saves us and brings us into a relationship with God. This is what we were made for, to know God and enjoy Him now and forever. So by God's grace, let's pay very careful attention to the message of salvation so we don't drift away. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this text that we've been able to consider this morning. We thank You for these words that were penned so long ago to Christians who were in Christ long before us. Father, we thank You that these words are a powerful reminder to us living now in the 21st century not to drift away from Jesus. Father, we face many temptations in this life. There are many reasons the world can offer us to drift away, with some of the big ones being comfort and ease. Father, help us not to choose things that aren't going to last. This life will be over very soon. Even if we live 100 years, our life is just a speck compared to the length of eternity. It just goes on and on forever. Father, please help us to choose eternal life with the Lord Jesus over this fleeting life. That we would choose hardship and difficulty now because of what's coming. And Father, we thank you that even in the hardship and difficulty now, there is great joy. A deeper joy than anything in this world can actually offer us now. The joy of knowing you, the infinite almighty God, and knowing you personally as our Father. There is greater joy in that than anything in this world. And if we know you, then we have this joy. Not perfectly, not always. Often we turn to other things instead of you. But Father, this joy is ours in Christ to experience if we would pay very careful attention to the message of salvation. If we would spend much time with you each day in your word, in prayer, and in other ways, coming to church as brothers and sisters in Christ, the more we actually do these things, the more chance we have of not drifting away, because we're paying attention to you, we're drawing closer to you. Father, we pray that you would draw each one of us closer to yourself this morning, and that by your grace, none of us would drift away, that we would all see each other on that last day, that on Judgment Day we would be found in Christ, forgiven, sins washed away, and entering eternal life with you. Father, we pray all these things through our Lord Jesus and for the glory of your wonderful name. Amen.